Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network.
Who are we leaving it up to, the winners or the losers?
What is up, everybody?
You know, I'm a fun guy.
That's music to my ears.
From the Coin Podcast Network studios in downtown Portland, Oregon.
It was really good to see him play like we know he can.
I know things about football.
We're finding our way.
This is the Game On Podcast with Marcus Greaves.
Sports, sports, and yes, more sports.
And we're going to get down to business.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Game On Podcast with your host, Marcus Greaves. Great show for you guys. Today, we're going to break down some Beavers spring game. I got the chance. Go check out the Beavs down in Corvallis just this last Saturday, recording this on a Tuesday afternoon. But guys, I was so excited to see some fans. It felt so good. It felt so good just to see the fans out there. People were loving it. They had a standing ovation. You could tell the players were loving every second of it. So we got Carter Bain, staff writer for Beaver Blitz. He's going to hop on. He was at the spring game. We chatted a little bit before the game started. We're going to give our takeaways, our thoughts, the good, not so good, I don't want to say bad. And then obviously we got to finish up with Mr. Isaac Hodgins and that special moment for him. So we're going to break all that down. On top of that, we do have some soccer news. Portland Thorns killing it. Absolutely just killing it. We're going to break that down, what that means for them going forward after winning the NWSL Challenge Cup over Gotham. So we're going to talk about that real quick. And then to wrap things up, as always, we've got to give you guys our athlete of the week, Osa Odigizuwa. He was a third-round draft pick from the Cowboys. I will give you guys that story to close up the show. But with that being said, it's time to switch it on over to Mr. Carter Baines. But first, let's take a quick break.
Hi, this is Jeff Giannola from Coin 6 News, and I'd like to invite you to watch Coin 6 News at 10 on Portland CW. It's our award-winning newscast, 1 hour earlier at 10 o'clock. A full hour of the stories that are important to you and your family from the news team that's watching out for you. Plus, Portland's most accurate forecast certified by Weather Rate from Chief Meteorologist Natasha Stenbach. See why more people are switching to Coin 6 News at 10 on Portland CW. Watching out for you.
The Coin 6 weather team has the most accurate forecast in town, certified by Weather Rate. Coin 6 weather, watching out for you.
Like I said, you guys, time to talk a little bit of Beavs. So I got to bring in my man, Mr. Carter Bain, staff writer for Beaver Blitz. Carter, my man, first of all, how you doing? Second, you were down in Corvallis on Saturday with me, man. I was just telling everybody that, but it was sunny. It was super sunny. It was so nice to see the fans out there.
Yeah, and it's sunny again down here in Corvallis today, man. And it's awesome to get out and watch football, and it's even better to do it under the sun. And then to look across the stadium and see fans in the seats at Reser was kind of the cherry on top. So it was a fun 5 weeks of spring camp, and now to kind of wrap it all up and kind of, you know, let our thoughts settle a bit. I think it's an exciting time.
Yeah, it definitely is. So, Carter, you said it. I want to jump into this first with the fans. The fans were there. They were there, and they were enjoying. They got a standing Coach Smith got a standing ovation in the players by the fans, which I thought was really cool. That was probably the second coolest, obviously, part of that entire day. Because, like you said, it's been so long since we've seen fans in there. They were excited, and I'm not going to sit here and say Oregon State spring game. I mean, it's a spring game, so spring games are never going to be the most entertaining-wise when it comes to seeing full contact, full games, guys actually, you know, hitting each other as hard as they can, basically is what I'm trying to say, because you're not trying to take off your teammate's head. So, but just in general, to see how excited those fans were, I just took a step back, man, and I was watching it, and I was just like, this is college football. Not what we saw this last season. This is college football. The interaction between the fans, the players, guys are excited. Everybody was jumping up and down. Like I said, people were you know, giving them a round of applause, high-fiving each other when big plays were being made. I mean, those were the moments that I know for a fact that I missed big time, and I can guarantee you Coach Smith and the players missed it as well.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, we were both there in the fall watching those games under the lights and in an empty stadium. And so you know what the atmosphere was like there last fall. I was up there in the press box, and it was just, you know, it was obviously football is football, and you're watching it, and we're up there working and we're busy, but it was an empty atmosphere, and there was, you know, pretty clearly something missing. And you can replicate the sound over the loudspeakers with pumped in crowd noise, and you can, I guess you can play the audio track of the marching band, but without people there, it wasn't nearly the same experience. And so to get real people in there to take the spot of the cardboard cutouts and to get rid of the giant advertisement banners that were covering the seats, it was kind of a step back in time, and, you know, more of a normal atmosphere. And I think it was much needed for not only for the players, not only for us, but for the people who actually got to go and watch the football live in person. It was healing, I think, in many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it definitely was, because seeing those guys out there again, finally, you know, full force, everybody was in there. It's Beaver Nation, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's finally back, and I thought that was really cool to experience. Carter, I want to get into the actual game. So for those of you who watched it on Pac-12 Network or were actually at the game, like I said earlier, spring practice and a spring game, they're different. They're very much different from the actual fall season and the fall games. You're not going to see guys going 100% trying to lay each other out, take each other's heads off. Your teammates, they need to understand that, right? Everybody needs to understand that before we get into this. So it was interesting because it was kind of a scrimmage, kind of a practice. There were some live periods. There were some one-on-ones. So there was a lot that we could kind of digest and break down. But, Carter, I want to get your thoughts on this first. Who was the most impressive player offensively for you?
Well, I think it's got to be Sam Vidlak, true freshman quarterback, coming in here to his first opportunity with the second team unit, because Ben Gulbranson was out due to virus protocols. So Sam got to kind of step up and go up against a little higher competition, and I think he responded really well. Mm-hmm. We had only really seen him go with the third team up to that point in camp, and so after 5 weeks of kind of getting to learn the scheme and get used to the speed of the college game, I think he performed at a level that was really exciting to see. And it was evident from the first time he touched the ball on Saturday, going in that two-minute drill, completed his first, I think it was four passes or something like that, moved the ball down into field goal range, and that drive stalled, but the Beavers got 3 points out of it. And so to have your early enrollee quarterback go in and do that in his first live opportunity with the second team, I think that's got to get you really excited about his future. Not to mention kind of the raw skills that we've seen from him with that arm strength and his ability to move around the pocket, that sidearm throw ability that he's shown to kind of, you know, thread the ball past defenders. He's got a lot of the skills that I think really line up well to make him a future star in this league.
Mm-hmm. There's something that stands out to me about him, and we could talk about the arm strength. We could talk about how comfortable he looked. But there's something when you just kind of have a chip on your shoulder and you just have that it factor. And people use this term often. Very few people actually have that it factor. So a good example is everybody who plays Division I football and actually plays, you know, gets on the field, starts, whether that be special teams, offense, defense, anything. And even guys who are backups and third stringers, you have that it factor. You did. In high school, because that's what you have to have in order to reach this level, right? This is a level where everybody was the man at high school or at their respective high schools. So I think what really takes it away from me, and when I'm watching him play, he is so confident. And you can tell by the way he plays, because there's sometimes when you throw guys out there and they make one or two good plays, you can tell they're young or whatever. But I mean, Carter, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I honestly think this kid has a chance. In my mind, he should have a chance to start. Well, I think we go through this so often every single season, whether it be fall, spring, or whatever, that Oregon State hasn't had a really set, he is the guy quarterback consistently for more than, what, a year or two since Sean Mannion. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's been about that long. You could argue Jake Luton. Jake Luton was a great quarterback, don't get me wrong. But obviously injuries sidelined him for a long period of time. So besides that, I mean, Carter, he might be the most raw talented quarterback and one that I have the most confidence in going out there and actually making an impact right away since Sean Mannion. And that might be a hot take. People might be upset for me saying that, but I truly believe so. You watch him actually play. You watch how the offense moves. Yes, he is still young. Put that in consideration. But this kid should be wearing a tuxedo at his high school prom right now. Instead, he's out here looking like he can command the Oregon State offense. I think that's super impressive. I like what he can do. I'm very, very, very optimistic about his career at Oregon State. I definitely think he's going to be a really, really good quarterback for the Beavers, regardless of if he's going to start this upcoming season or the season after. Regardless, at least put him in the conversation. I think he's earned that much respect that he should be in that conversation. This is coming from somebody who's played with really great quarterbacks, and then I've played with people who are not the best quarterbacks. That's no, you know, respect to all those guys, because you could probably say the same thing about all of us running backs. You know, you have some really good running backs that you play with. You have some that they're really good at catching the ball out of the backfield, or some that are really terrible at that. Some are really good at blocking. Some are not. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way of the game. Some guys are better at one thing than another. But just to see what he can do, I'm excited to see what Sam has. He's going to be a guy that, like I said, is going to make a big impact on this program moving forward. Carter, I want to shift gears now. What is a position, either a position or a player, that is either, I'm not going to say disappointing, but maybe didn't live up to what you were thinking in the springtime, or a position group that has not lived up to their expectations?
I think it's a tough question to answer, just because we didn't really get to see a whole lot from the front seven, just because of the limited tackling and you know, kind of minimizing contact and everything. But up until the point that the defensive line proves to me that they have taken a step forward, I have to say that is my biggest position group of worry. You know, I think it's kind of a point of question. It's a point of concern on the roster. And while I was impressed with what I saw in the spring game and in that final practice from the front seven, seeing the push that they were able to make in the run game and kind of take the running game out of the equation in those kind of live periods where they're working on the red zone and whatnot, that's a really, really, really small sample size. And until I can see sustained success from them and a greater push up front in the running game and more pocket pressure in pass rush, front seven is still a bit of a question mark for me. And that doesn't really include the inside linebackers, because I think that's one of the deepest position groups in the conference. Mm-hmm. But specifically up front on the defensive line, and then even a little bit the outside linebackers this year with the loss of Rashid and the questions about Addison Gum's health. Those are kind of some areas that I'm still a little worried about entering the fall, but I'm hoping come fall camp, come week one, they can kind of, you know, prove that they have taken a step forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to have to say, Carter, my concern is the running back group. I'm very concerned, and that's not because I don't think they're talented. I think individually they have some really, really good players. Really, really good players. Like, you know, Teron Madison. They have B.J. Baylor. You look at the list, and it's not like the talent isn't there. I think it's just weird to me because in the past, I don't know, you could argue maybe 12 years, Oregon State has had kind of that next guy up at running back. You know what I'm saying? It's like one guy leaves, a talented guy is gone, then the next one steps up, and he's just as talented. And everyone's like, well, why didn't he play a lot last year? Well, quite frankly, a good example is you look at somebody like Jamar Jefferson, right? Jamar Jefferson, he comes in, he plays really well. Backup guys come in, they're like, well, where's this backup guy been? Well, he's in front of, you know, Jamar Jefferson in front of him, so it's kind of hard. You know what I'm saying? So same thing with Artavis Pierce, Ryan Nall, you can go down the list. But something that concerns me is that nobody stood out to the point of, I'm like, that is the defined number one running back. And I know there was a bunch of stuff going on where guys missed time and they weren't able to participate in the spring game / practice, but I don't know, Carter. I that didn't leave me feeling very confident. because I feel like once you have a certain amount of years under your belt, someone is going to step up, right? Obviously, the leadership, the experience, in-game experience says a lot for a running back, and if you've been in the moment and you've been in the games, that's where you have a lot of credibility, and that's where, in a way, you should be taking that next step for the younger guys saying, hey, I am the man, right? I am that guy because I've been through the ringer. But I didn't see that with anybody. I don't think anybody even showed that much explosiveness. And that's where I'm a little concerned of, well, Oregon State has been so lucky. And we don't get me wrong, we've set the bar extremely high at the running back position. Extremely. You can argue it's one of the, man, I would say probably top three when it comes to the conference. Like that position group, you know, is always going to be good for Oregon State. You know, just like Oregon is always going to have apparently a quarterback that's going to be a player that's going to be a top five pick, right? That's just something that is just known. And for Oregon State, it's been their running backs. But I'm not seeing that right now, and I don't know where it's going to go. I know they got a new running back coach with Coach Petrie, leaving, going to Chicago. Maybe it was guys are trying to understand a new philosophy. And so I took all that in consideration. I was just a little disappointed because I feel like that's one thing, obviously being a former running back, that I love to see is how the running back position at Oregon State is consistently good. If you go to Oregon State as a running back, you have something about you as a running back. And yes, I said that because I used to play running back. I like to, maybe I got to toot my own horn for a second. But just in general, Carter, that's something that I was very concerned about. So I want to switch gears again, though, Carter, and I want to get your overall thoughts. So, like I said, we saw an interesting spring game / practice where I have said three times now, I understand the situation, and whether it be numbers or anything like that. But was there anybody that maybe surprised you besides Sam Vidlak that is not like a well known like a Tyjon Lindsey? You know what I'm saying? Tyjon Lindsey is very well known. He just has to stay healthy. Chant Fleming, same thing. But was there anyone who kind of stood out that you were like, oh, he's actually pretty solid?
Yeah, I think, name value-wise, Rajon Wright, I think a lot of Oregon State fans know the name just because he was a last chance U guy, mm-hmm. and his brother was a big-time contributor here. And I think he had a lot of – fans had a lot of expectation for him when he came in last year. Mm-hmm. But he, in terms of standouts, people kind of coming out of nowhere, he's the guy this mm-hmm. spring. He was not a very big contributor last year as he was kind of getting accustomed to the FBS level. It's a big leap for a JUCO guy to come in and play at the Pac-12 level. And so, it took him a season to, kind of get that comfortability and everything. But what I saw from him this spring, man, he looks like a completely different player than what we saw in the fall. He has transformed himself from a bench guy to, in my opinion, Oregon State's top corner over the span of, it's been 5 months since the season wrapped up. So something really clicked for him to the point where, he can go out there and he's going to be guarding other teams' top receivers, and he's going to go out and he's probably going to lead the defensive backfield in interceptions. He's a guy who's going to get in the passing lanes. He's long, he's quick. I really think the sky's the limit for him, and I think with his brother Nashawn going off to the NFL, there's obviously a really big role that is available in Oregon State's defensive backfield, and he looks like he is more than ready to fill those shoes. And I think the coaches would tell you the same thing. Coach Tibisar was really quick to point him out as the big standout on that side of the ball this spring. And I'm personally really excited to see what he can do this year. And I think he's kind of one of the reasons that I'm so high on this defensive backfield this mm-hmm. year. I think they're kind of going to surprise a lot of people because some of the inconsistencies they showed last year had a lot of people skeptical about where that group was heading, especially with so many departures. But if he can step up and fill that role that his brother filled for the last 2 years, man, this defense is going to be in a good place.
Right. They are definitely going to be in a good place, Carter. I was going to say the exact same thing. I love a smack talker, man. As much as people don't like that in sports, I can appreciate that so much. And you have to have that as a corner. You really do. And we saw it on Last Chance U. I went back and watched it a couple times. And I was thinking to myself, not only does he like to talk smack, but he can back it up with his play. I think that's where a lot of people shy away from, because you'll talk smack, obviously, when you're up, 30 points, or when you're up by 3 touchdowns. But just like we saw in the Last Dance documentary, Michael Jordan's like, man, you can talk smack when you're up, by 30, but what are you going to do when it's 0-0? He reminds me of that guy that talks smack when it's 0-0, and he's like, you're going to have to prove it to me that you can beat me, because in my mind, there is no chance, and you're not even going to be close. Carter, I'm excited to see what he can do. He was talking smack. He made some big-time tackles, made some great plays overall defensively. I'm excited to see what he can do. Like you said, if he can fill the same shoes as his brother did, man, when was the last time Oregon State had 2 corners that were taken that high? Not only taken that high, but were brothers. I don't think that's ever happened. I would be super excited for that. Carter, last question before we get you out of here, my man, because I know we've been running on a little bit too long because I'm blabbering all over the place. Give me an overall grade for Oregon State this spring.
That's tough.
I'm putting you on the spot. I know, man. We did not talk about this before we started recording, but I have to do it.
Yeah. I'd say it was an above-average spring considering the circumstances, so I'll give them a B-.
Okay.
I have to discount it a little bit just because there are so many key contributors that were out. And I think that limited what they were able to accomplish, especially in the back half of camp with so many receivers out and, some big contributors on the defensive side with Avery Roberts and Addison Gums limited. Simon Sandberg was limited on that side of the ball too. So it's hard to say that it was, a perfect camp or anything, because I think it would have been huge to get those guys a lot more reps. But at the same time, we saw a lot of guys take that next step. We've mentioned Vidlak and Rajon Wright, but seeing some of the younger receivers get more opportunities and watching some of the younger running backs get a little bit of run, I think there's some clear development in some really key areas that was made available based off of the guys that weren't able to go this spring. And so it was a productive camp, even though there were some limitations, and I think a lot of guys are better for it going into the fall.
Yes, sir. Love to hear it. Carter, thank you so much, man. His name is Carter Bain, staff writer for Beaver Blitz. Carter, we can't thank you enough for hopping on. As always, excited to see what the Beavs have going forward. We'll get you on again soon, all right, my man?
Of course. Thanks, Marcus. Always good to talk to you.
Okay, let's talk a little bit of Thorns. Like I said, they won the NWSL Challenge Cup over Gotham FC. And listen, you guys, I watched that game. I went back and watched it, trying to get my soccer knowledge up, because I know, obviously, the gist of soccer. Just my knowledge, I feel like it could be better. And I'm just being honest with you guys. So when I'm watching it, not only does it stress me out because the penalty kicks are too much for me. I don't know how people do it. First of all, the pressure, the stress, and everything. But the penalty kicks just stress me out. Like, I just don't understand. So, the Thorns, 5-6 penalty kick shootout, right? So, bear with me when I say this, is that at first, when I was watching it, I feel like not just the understanding of how to kick the ball perfectly for the penalty kicks. I know that's like probably for you diehard soccer fans, please bear with me. I'm doing my research beyond belief, I promise you. But so Morgan Weaver sealed the victory as she was the 14th kicker. But, man, A.D. French, like, the saves that she had were unreal. And that's what I'm saying, is that the athleticism that you have to be a goalkeeper is unreal to me. And just to see the tension and how stressful everyone in the crowd looked, I thought it was hysterical, because I love that. I live for those moments, and to see how the Thorns reacted in that, I thought was super impressive. The shootout, that thing lasted 7 rounds. Like, I don't know what's considered too long or too short, but I mean, you have to throw that in there of like, that's just ridiculous. So to see what they did, it was super impressive. Congrats to the Thorns. And that's just the beginning. I was looking into a ton of things of saying, this is just the beginning. Like, this team is talented defensively. They have it. On top of that, they have versatile leadership and just overall talent in general. So let's hear from some of the Thorns about just what that win meant for them. Some great stuff there as always, but like I said, I am getting my soccer knowledge up, so bear with me, you guys, but I promise you, I am a big fan. I love just I keep saying the intensity, but I should say more of the atmosphere. The soccer atmosphere is like nothing I've ever experienced before. I've been to a handful of Thorns games and Timbers games, and just being in the crowd, it makes me want to like jump up and not just do the chants and the cheers, but man, I see people chugging beer sometimes. I don't even like drinking beer, and I don't even know if I could say this on this podcast, but like I said, big fan. Congrats to them. I'm excited to see what they're going to do moving forward. So congrats to the Thorns. Now it's time to switch on over to the Athlete of the Week. But first, let's take a quick break.
Vandalism, violence, and homelessness are spiraling out of control.
The city of roses is now the city of trash and filth.
The Portland that I see now is not the Portland that used to be.
City leaders and a shrinking police force seem overwhelmed.
The fact of the matter is we are underpoliced in the city of Portland.
Coin 6 is taking a hard look at how one of America's most desirable cities fell so fast.
And what it will take to recover.
Is Portland over? A Coin 6 special series, all this week at 6.
It all worked out in the end, so it was really a great day.
The Dallas Cowboys select Osa Odighizuwa, defensive tackle from UCLA.
It was a dream come true for former David Douglas and UCLA star Osa Odighizuwa, who heard his name called on draft day. And to make things even better, he landed exactly where he thought he would.
So, I mean, I was really just taking the feedback from the teams. You know, a lot of them had me at like a second round grade, and we talked about it, like me and my agent. You know, sometimes they'll just tell you things just to tell you things, but like a lot of them are telling you like second, you have a good chance of going in the third. You know what I mean? At the very least.
And you could say once Osa's phone rang, he had to make a quick decision about what he was going to do first.
Second round ended. A couple of D tackles got picked up before me. I was like, okay, you know, he's just reassuring me. It's like, we're still in a good spot. You know, I'm just eating. Cause I'm not like low key stress eating. You know, I was like, let me just go. I had a fried pickle in my hand when they called me. Just dipped it in some barbecue sauce and ranch, and I was like, I had the pickle in this hand. They called me up, and then I answered the phone. You know, it just kind of came right out of nowhere.
Osa also had the help of his older brother, Owa, who was a third-round draft pick for the New York Giants back in 2015.
One, just being a great example and someone that I could follow behind, you know what I mean? Just always always setting the example by working hard and applying himself to everything that he did and just striving for excellence in everything that he does.
Not only did Osa get to experience something so many of us dream about, but he gets to do it with a team that he knows is the perfect fit for him.
They said their scheme fits my play style perfectly, and it does. You know what I mean? It's a downhill attack team. So setting a new line of scrimmage and being able to get off the ball and go vertical.
From Coin 6 Sports, I'm Marcus Greaves.